2018, Sunday, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's wonderful planet, Earth, that provides life and love to all of us. Love when you're lonely. Love when you feel abandoned. Love. You can take hope because that quality of life yet exists. It'll never go away. It'll never be foiled by some enemy. It will always persist. And I'm not just making up some new kind of philosophical grid for you to gnaw on. It is love that keeps me. I, being an African American raised in North America, the United States of America, had no religion when I was born, because in 1944 the Africans that were here in this country that had become African Americans were no longer connected to those ancient roots from which my religion stems from. And I believe in a world of pure religion. Pure religion, not this fake religion, I'm better than you, or I have more than you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help this webcast along by playing from an album that I've had since the year 2001. An album sung by Don Hess called Orphan No More. Don Hess, H-E-S-S. And I came into contact with this singer and entertainer through the producer of the album, Johnny J. Blair, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I remember Johnny when he was then married, and he and his wife were both attending a quasi-charismatic Pentecostal church, and they contacted me, having heard me on Truth Radio. At that time, I was doing an awful lot of Truth Radio, broadcasting live. Once they kicked me off of the Los Angeles radio station, scandal follows me everywhere. I'm telling the truth, and I'm telling you, truth will get your little booty kicked every day of the week. Don't you millennials ever forget that. You tell the truth, there's going to be some consequences behind you telling the truth, especially from human beings. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play, and I think most of you will not really like this music or this album. And I know I got the Bible study right in here because I want you to hear it. I could have played the Bible study first and just a quick in and a quick out, but I want to feature this album because there's a few cuts that I want to play. And the first one that I want you to hear is one called Rich Christians. Oh, I love that one. And then number six on the album, Status Quo. You've got to hear that. And then, oh man, I like Who, Oh God. That's all I'll have a chance to play. Hess is, that's my dog, pay him no attention. Someone is walking theirs in front of the Lucy Coleman studio in Harcourt, just like Broman will not stand for it. How could I choose a dog so much like the one that passed away? Ah, Jai's good. He knows what John needs. This one is a little twerp, though, but he's loud and he's a mean rascal. He's all of the mustard that Broman never manifested. Okay? I'm feeling a little bit better today as I do this webcast. It's been nice finding these old lectures and playing them. But I want to play this album, as I was saying, is because from their part of Pennsylvania, Don Hess and especially Johnny Blair, they have a way of writing about Christianity, the way I speak about it. Now, this is going to be folksy, so if you're from Pennsylvania around the coal mining, I guess, thing around Wisconsin, stuff like that, you like this music. They use the best instrumentation in this.
Horrorcore, cut it out. Come away.
They use the best instruments, very good studio equipment. Sit down in here. Sit down and cut out all that racket. I mean it. Sit down. He's looking around. He thinks I have something for him to eat. Now stay down and stop that racket. He knows he's wrong. All right, listen to it. And this one, again, is talking about who, oh God, it is a wonderful, let me see, number 13. I better poke that in here correctly. Who, oh God, here it is.
You're right.
cool god. Kind of a Nordic sound. Like the Vikings finding Jack out on the icy seas. I like the music. It warms my heart. Huokai is like no one. I'm telling you. Let's get into our study today.
Listening to God. God bless you for receiving another tape. Join us next time as we continue this series. Are you listening?
All right. I thought that I was ready. It didn't line up the next one. That was the end of the last. Here we go. That's my introduction. Now.
In a day when men are not taking God serious or even trying to analyze who it is that's speaking to them, that's trying to get them to function in a way that's important, we continue with our theme of listening to God with a sermon basically entitled, How Do I Know That That's God Speaking to Me? Something in terms of that question, defining the voice. Is it God speaking to me? Is it somebody else speaking? Am I hallucinating? Am I under the influence of another spirit instead of the Heavenly Spirit? Many things like that. Let's get right into the message. Hi, I'm Pastor Coleman. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this night of worship. And we thank you, Lord, for that overcoming power that only comes through knowing you. Now we ask that our hearts might be blessed again as we open our Bibles and as we open our hearts and as you speak to us and as we listen to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Keeping with our theme, listening to God, it's very important that Christians listen to God. It's very important that you know that He's talking. We said when we first came together that God is speaking today. And you remember our scripture was Psalm 81, 8 through 14. I outlined and identified that God is still talking to people today. Then after that, we asked this question, how does God speak today, from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we remember when he was speaking with Samuel, and Eli said, the next time you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And then last week, we spoke about getting our attention in Exodus 20, when God had to use certain means to get his people's attention. We qualified that he yet today gets our attention. And tonight we come to a very important part about this theme about listening to God. And this one, I think, is so important because most people miss it. And basically, you would call this particular sermon, How to Identify God's Voice. If God is speaking today, how to identify it's God speaking and not some other voice? That's very important because we've already said that God is not going to come down audibly and speak to you in the King's English, but he speaks loud and clear and very plain. How do I know that it's God speaking to me and not another? That's a good question, especially from Christians. I don't know how many of you have ever asked that question. How do I know this is God getting me to do this? You might ask me, John, when were you called to preach? I say, the latter part of, the early part of 1982. You say, how do you know that was God asking you, telling you to do that? How do you know that that wasn't your own conscience, your own mind? What is it God or was it Satan? Was it you? Was it your conscience? Or was it too many chili beans? What was it? How do you know? Does God speak to you in dreams? Speak to you? John, when did God speak to you? I was on 3rd Street and Western Avenue riding tickets, and I had to stop because he was speaking very clear. How do you know, John, that that was God? How do you know that you just weren't talking to yourself? See, this is serious. And people are going to ask you that kind of question. How do you know, John, that you just weren't under the influence of Pastor Stanley? How do you know, John, that your pastor was getting old and getting ready to die, and we had another pastor here, Reverend Jack, and you just didn't want to be under him, and you just wanted it your way, and you said that God was talking to you? Good questions. Were you just talking to yourself? Are you just one of those kind of men that love to hear your own voice and get hypnotized by your own voice and then attribute that to God? Was it just your conscience playing tricks on you, John? How do you know? Let me go back and tell you something. You might think that I was the first one that God called to preach in this church under Pastor Stanley. Wrong. I'll never forget, Lewis came to me about 3 months before I was even called to preach. And Lewis said, John, God has called me to preach. I said, what? What, how, what, when, why, where, what are you talking about? Now, I'd never been called to preach. And I said, what do you do? He says, I don't know. I said, tell somebody. He says, what should I do? I don't know. I've never been called to preach by God. Only thing he called me out of is out of a life of sin into a life of righteousness. But if he called me, I said, see, God never called me to be a Sunday school teacher. See, God gave me gifts. I merely exercised my gifts. God didn't call me to start a home fellowship. He merely said, open up your home. God didn't call me to be a recorder of a .8 tape ministry. He said, use the gifts that I've given you. See, God's not going to call you to do the natural abilities that he gives you. But when he calls you to do something as dynamic as take upon yourself saying that you become a spokesman for him, well, then I said to Lewis, what do you do? So 2 or 3 months later, when I had my experience on Western Avenue, first thing I did was went to the senior pastor. I says, hey, I believe God is calling me to preach. He says, well, how do you know? I says, I can't put my finger on it, but I'm uneasy about something until I say, preach, preach, asking a question, and then I get peace. So how do we know? That's a very important question. If you listen correctly, you'll be able to determine accurately God's voice from all other voices. And where do I get that from? Well, let me let you go to a text. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. Five small verses in John chapter 10. Jesus hits it right on the head. You see, and I know you've read these verses so many times. You say, oh, but John, I never paid any attention to that. Listen, Jesus says, surely, surely I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep, listen, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. John chapter 10. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. And that brings us to our subject matter again tonight. How do I identify God's voice? Well, I'm telling you this again, church, that if you are listening perfectly clear and are united with him in a relationship of the new birth, as Christ said, you won't listen to any other voice. You will know his voice from anybody else's voice. And it's so simple and it's so plain, and I'm just gonna admonish you again. Listen correctly. Listen correctly. Don't listen with your outer ear, but listen with the Spirit's ear. The Holy Spirit will never. I was blessed. I asked Brother Tom this morning. Don, we had two people come to our church. And come to the Lord. And I asked Tom, I said, why did you leave that seat and come down here? He said, the Spirit told me to. The man was listening to God's voice. I said, did the pastor tell you to do it? No, I had to. The Spirit told me to. Tom followed the biblical mandate, and if you ask him, he couldn't even tell you what John 10 said. Because the Lord gives all of his the ability to listen to his voice and respond to it. Now let's talk about this. In his voice we see five small things. And I want you to mark these things down, because you, for the next umpteen years of your life, you are going to ask this question, how do I identify God's voice? And you that are here tonight should never ask that question. When some other believers in the church that are not here tonight say, well, how do you know it's God's voice? you're going to have some tools to be able to identify this. You know what I often say about the people that come to church on Sunday nights? I say that they have a great advantage over the ones that don't come. Because the ones that came this morning, I believe they were blessed. But I believe that the ones that come out on Sunday night, following this theme of listening to God, you will listen closer than the ones that don't come out to this series. And guess when you're going to see the results of it? During the crusade, you're going to see it. Because as you listen to God's voice and as you listen to God, He's going to direct you. You are going to be able to become more sensitive to what God is doing within His body. In His voice, we have to ask this question. Is His voice, if I have to identify God's voice, is this voice that I hear? And I'm not talking about audible stuff. I'm not talking about stuff that you hear with your ears. As Sister Jenny said, you hear in your spirit. You see, if God is speaking to me, how do I identify His voice? You say, is His voice consistent with what He's already said in His Word? Good question. Always ask that question. Is this voice that I hear talking with me consistent with His words? Has He ever called others to preach? Yes. How has He called them? Through the Word. We can see how He interacts with men's lives through the words. Is this calling, is His voice consistent? Does the voice you hear contradict what the Bible says? If it does, be sure it's what? It's not His voice. His voice never contradicts what the Bible already says. If His voice says, I don't have to come to church, Pastor John. But we read in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You know that's not God's voice. If His voice says, you don't owe God anything, but then when you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you grow of the spiritual gospel, have not he that teaches you these things, should he not live of the gospel? And so we have the Bible to tell us that. If the voice that you hear at any time contradicts the known word and will and way of God in the Bible, you know that's not God talking. That's somebody else. All right? Does it sound rather new or strange, this voice? Is this voice that you're hearing and picking up these vibes? You check with other Christians. Has God ever spoke to you like that? Well, God just told me last night to sell my house. No. Let me bring something close to home. Don just got him a job. Don comes home tonight. Honey, God talked to me at the job. What did he tell you to do? Told me to quit my job, honey, and put a sign on my back and go out there on 7th and Broadway and preach. And Tammy's going to say, oh, but the Bible says that if a man don't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Yeah, but God has spoken to me and he's told me to do that. Now, that's not consistent with his word, you see. God's not going to tell you to do that. God is going to give some plain, direct guidelines. He's not going to say anything that sounds new and strange. As you pray and you listening to this new voice that you're hearing, and you know what the Word of God says, after you pray, how is your spirit after you pray? You've heard this new voice now. This new voice coming to you, God is talking to me. And God is telling me, Pastor John, that you are on call. Well, where do you get that from? Well, I go to the Old Testament scriptures and it says, not everybody that calls himself a prophet is my prophet. I don't think you're my prophet. Well, you haven't done good hermeneutics. Prove to me where I'm wrong. I don't have to. This voice is telling me you're wrong. Well, I'm telling you that as you pray, if there's no peace in that spirit man that dwells in you, that's not his voice. See? God's voice never causes frustration and anxiety. I'm telling you. And if, you know, verse 5 of our text in John 10:5 says, and the stranger, they will not follow. You can't follow an alien's voice. You can't do that. You can't say that God all of a sudden is leading you in an area and you know he's not leading you in that area. Well, you better pay attention to that voice. You better pay very close attention to that voice. And it's my premise to say that sometimes Christians follow alien voices since they've been saved because they are not determining how to identify his voice. Is his voice, the second question that you have to ask yourself, is his voice in conflict with human wisdom? Well, I hope so. Do you? How? Is the voice that you hear in conflict with human wisdom? No, 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 no. The voice that I hear is in agreement with human wisdom. Well, you better use your Bible. Turn with me to Matthew 5:39. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. I'm telling you that the voice of God many times is in conflict with human knowledge. All right. Matthew 5:39. Look what Jesus says. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall hit you on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Wait a minute, that sounds strange. If somebody scandalized my name, if somebody put me down, if somebody lied on me, if somebody drags my character through the mud, I'm supposed to allow myself to be dragged through the mud again? Yes. But that's in conflict with human wisdom. Yes. There's a voice that you hear. Does it agree with human wisdom? If he smite thee, drag you through the mud, scandalize your name, what does human wisdom teach? Get back at him. Drag his through the mud. Scandalize his name. Talk about his mama. Burn down his house. Kick him in the behind. No. God's voice is always in conflict with human wisdom. God will tell you to do something that you never think he told you to do. No, he's not going to tell you, I want you to be my emissary on the moon. That's not only conflict with human wisdom, but that's conflict with human rationality. Number one, there's nobody on the moon to witness to. And number two, you couldn't live up there for very long. So God is not going to make you and cause you to do anything crazy. That's a good question. Isaiah 55:8 tells you something else. Quickly turn there. Isaiah 55:8. I said that if his voice is in conflict with human wisdom, God identifies that for us readily. In Isaiah 55:8, some of us very familiar scripture. God is speaking to the nation of Israel. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So the Lord says, when I talk, I don't talk like man talks. I don't reason like man reasons. I don't think like man thinks. I recall in our discipleship class, we were talking with Maddie, and I made that statement. I said, lose face in the name of Jesus. Look bad. You don't care how bad you look. You don't care about them laughing at you. When you talk about Jesus and somebody, Tom is a new Christian. When he witnesses, his buddies is going to laugh at him and scandalize his name. And the Bible tells Tom to be glad when they persecute you. That's in total conflict of human wisdom. Now, the voice that you hear is telling you, no, 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 no. You're not ever supposed to look bad. You're not ever supposed to have anybody scandalize your name. That's not God's voice. That's not God's voice. How else? How else? Third question that you've got to ask yourself. Is listening to this voice that I hear going to cause, is it going to cause a clash with fleshly nature? See, listening to the voice of God, and if it's his voice, Brother Don, is always going to clash with the flesh. You better hear me. Oh, no, no, no. I don't ever have conflict with the flesh. I just give in to the flesh. I mean, my whole life is a flesh, whatever makes me happy. No, no, listen. If what you hear in that voice is to gratify the flesh all the time, rest assured, that's not God. Because God is always talking about deny the flesh. God is always talking about restrain the flesh. See, he came to put to death your flesh. God is always talking about mortify, render inactive the deeds of the flesh. But whenever the voice tells you, hey, brother, you got to feel good. Hey, hey, this is for you. Take a little coke. It ain't no joke. You will float. That is gratification of the flesh. See? And God is saying, don't be no dope and take that stuff, fool. Amen. See? He says, wait a minute. I got to feel good. I usually when I tell youngsters in teen fellowships, I say there's two things that the human body must have, and that's food and water. That's one thing put together. And the second one is sex. Strong drives. But I'm saying that if your whole life is based upon eating and drinking and making love or having somebody love you, well, then you are just gratifying and living for the flesh. What about the spiritual man? What about the intellect? What about going to school, getting a decent education? All right? What about performing a lifestyle so people can say you're upstanding instead of just dragging it down? Listen, God does not speak in those terms. If you hear a voice telling you, oh, come on, man, you ain't got to do this. Do this. Feel good. You don't feel good. Look, do this to make yourself feel good. That is not the voice of God. That is not the voice of God. We are to gratify the Spirit. That's what we're to gratify. We are to let that Spirit that's within inside of us be built up and gratified. All right, what else? What else? Number four. This voice that is supposed to be God is a voice that should challenge your faith. Does a voice that you hear that you call God, does that voice challenge your faith? Does it do it? Does it challenge you to live for Him? Or does it say, hey, ease up, take it easy. You're too bold. You're too zealous. You're too serious about this Jesus. Take Him lightly this week. You've been living a disciplined life. No. That's not the voice of God. Because the voice of God always challenges you. You know you can do better. You know you can hold out. You know that you... you're not ready to give up because I'm not to give up. What if Christ had gave up? Right? What if they had laid His hand on the cross to nail it and He looked at that hammer and said, wait a minute, brother, I changed my mind. I had a vision. I am not God. I was a joke. No. Well, you can't do it. Christians do that too. See? Lord, I'll go with you all the way, and the hand is stretched out. And they don't have a physical nail, Brother Milton. It's just a mental nail. And I said, well, if you witness for Christ, we may skip over you in the promotion. Well, brother, you better lay your head down there to be nailed. Because that's what God wants you to do. It challenges your faith. God's voice is always challenging you. You know you can do better. You know you're not ready to give up. Oh, some of these old sisters in the church. Honey, she pushed me one time too often. Honey, I've had it. I ain't taking no more. That's it. Now, that is not the voice of God. Because the voice of God is saying, no, that's not it. What if I had said that's it right when you had to die in your sin? What if it had to come to your salvation and Christ says, well, I'm tired to die for them. All the blacks are going to hell because I can't die for them. He wouldn't be God. But see, I'm telling you, sometimes people say that's the voice of God. And lastly, we have to ask this very, very important question. Is the voice that you hear a voice that induces you to be encouraged? Now listen, a lot of times you're going to hear some voices and it's not going to talk about courage. I've already spoke about give-up-ism. That isn't the opposite of courage. The opposite of courage is cowardice. See? And so when the voice says, come on, you know you're scared. See, that's not God. God will never give you a fearful attitude. Well, what if you say that? What are they going to think about you? That's not God. See? When you know you're supposed to tell somebody about the Lord and everything, no, come on, man, they're going to laugh at you, man. You can't say that. You know that's not God. That's the devil. But God is a voice of courage. When you look at Him and the person is sensitive and open, and God says, you know I put you here, speak. Wait a minute. When He says speak, if you don't know what to say, say, Lord, I don't know how. So don't approach Him. And as soon as you approach that person, you turn around, the person will say, you're a Christian, aren't you? And you say, yes, I am. What does Christ mean to you? Come on, I'll buy you lunch and tell you. Speak. He'll give you courage. He'll give you courage. You can read about Joshua in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And the Lord tells Joshua to be courageous. To be very courageous. But sometimes when we hear the voice, it says, ease up, man. Don't say nothing. Don't embarrass yourself. See, Brother Milton, you are a heck of a man. Another man will come up to you and say, man, you know, only punks can witness Jesus. You got to be some kind of a sissy. I'm telling you, Jesus had 12 men and one of them was a joke. And 11 of them went crazy for His cause and started to turn their world upside down. Now listen, I want you to also note that Satan is the master of deceit. And he's going to try to work in your mind and tell you that everything that man said up there behind that pulpit is a joke. Don't say it. Don't witness it. Don't believe it. You're not going to gain victory. Who would believe that Tom Lyman would come to the Lord after all them years of being in this church? See, the devil would want to put out, hey, give up. Don't witness no more. Nobody's coming to Christ. And then when people come to Christ, you say, oh, look at this. It's no strange thing. Satan wants you to get your wires crossed. And that's why when you hear these voices that calls itself God, if you don't ask these five very important questions, when you hear these voices, your wires are going to get crossed. And that's what he's all about. And lastly, I just want to tell you that there are some hard line absolutes. Absolutes in the Word of God. And you can identify the voice of God. You can identify it. Let's review what we've just said. Is this voice that I'm hearing consistent with the Word of God? Yes, it is. That is God speaking to you. Is this voice in conflict with human wisdom? Yes, it is. That could be the voice of God. Now, human wisdom with rationality. Don't get out there and say, God told me to jump off of a cliff, and that's not consistent with human wisdom. I said, that's not consistent with brains. God is not going to tell you to do anything stupid and dumb and ignorant. God is not going to tell you to slice your baby up in 14 chunks, Judy, and then said, in the name of Jesus, he spoke to me. I'm going to run when you come to church. I'm going to say, frisk her and see where the knife is, because she's a dangerous person. See, God is not going to, and if somebody don't put you in a straight jacket, we're going to put you in a straight blanket, something. See, don't go crazy on me and come and say, well, I'm not using human wisdom, but God said this. Third thing is we review, is there a clash with fleshly nature? You see, God's going to always say, crucify self, tie self up, restrain self. You don't need to do that. And then the beautiful part about the Lord, when you say, but Lord, I have feelings, I have needs. What he does is he says, I'm going to meet those needs through the right person in the right way. And that's why I often quote that scripture. And it says, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. You know, the Lord is saying, you go ahead, because he knows that we need that kind of fulfillment in life. But not to satisfy that fleshly nature on our own. And last two, does that voice challenge your faith and encourage you and give you courage? If it doesn't, that is not God. That's the devil. Remember that. Now, that's how you can tell. It's very easy. That's how to identify. It's no secret formula. And the best one, I think, is number one. Is this voice that you hear consistent with what the Word of God teaches? If it ain't, it ain't God. Simple as that. Let's pray. Now, Father, we have these 5 points. What are we going to do with them? Lord, I ask tonight that as I pray right now and talk to you, that you talk back to my spirit and give me peace in my human spirit.
Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky. All my hopes would come tumbling down. I thought I was so wise, but there. waking up from the long just dream. How real it seems until you love.
One of my favorite Christian singers of all ages, Keith Green, the late Keith Green. Until Your Love Broke Through. That's what my story was all about. I couldn't do it on my own. None of us could. And that's where, there's where a lot of people miss it. They think that because of some supernatural thing within us that we know how to handle those things. Not really. None of us know how to handle those things. I want to play one more number on this album right here. And I'm guessing that this is going to be the right take right here. And I hope that you appreciate this wonderful sound. Keith Green, Continuous. Yeah. I believe it was the next one. The next one is the one that I... There we go. This is the one. Listen to the words.
Oh, my job keeps getting easier. As time keeps slipping away. I can never see the bright light. And make it night look just like day.
Supposed to be the devil, right? Yeah, yeah. Keith died in a terrible plane crash down in Texas. They were getting ready to relocate their ministry in Texas. He had a number of his kids on the plane with him and another gentleman, and his whole family had shocked the Christian world. Keith Green dead. He was one of the pop Christian singers that came on the scene. I like all of his music. Isn't that weird? But I'm kind of weird, I guess. I'm just looking at the CD rack, so don't pay me any attention. Just trying to put things in order. I'm going to go back to that album that I started off with, Don Hess, because I'm going to play this number for you. And I know that you're going to love it. It's called, and I don't want to forget the name of it. Here it is. Now, here's that record that I told you I was going to play for you by Don Hess. Status Quo. Hope that you enjoy it. Listen to the words. It today, brother. This record was made in 2001. Figure it out. Listen to his words.
There's someone knocking on the door.
Pay attention now.
Ho, ho, you've heard it all before. Keep the status quo.
Yeah. Listen to the words. Listen.
It's a different place.
Yep.
Ugly problems you can't face.
Keep saying it.
Poverty and crime.
Yes, rising every day. This was in what?
You just, you haven't got the time.
No, but you better pay attention to
change the status quo.
You better sing it more.
No, no, no. There's children, they're killing kids at school. Politicians making their own rules.
What's your president doing today?
Doctors playing God with life. Lawyers hawking justice for a crime.
Anybody home, do you hear what's going on? Woo! Please.
Come out from your comfort zone.
They don't want to do that, man. No.
Don't try to simply pass the buck.
That's what we do these days, man.
That you are simply stuck.
Yep.
In the status quo.
Yep.
Whoa, whoa. I'm telling you that children.
Yep.
They're killing kids at school.
Yes, they are. It's gotten worse.
Politicians making their own. injustice for a crime. So long, I'll be on my way. One thing I have left to say.
What is it, Don? Talk to me.
Start life.
Yeah.
At the narrow gate. Enter before it's too late.
That's right. Talk
to
about.
Leave the status quo.
That's why I like his kind of. I like his kind of Christianity. Leave the status quo. Yeah. I love it. Status quo. Thank you for coming to my website today. And Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow with something brand new for you. This is PJ, your internet pastor in Los Angeles, California, saying, you know the drill. You know the drill. Stay into the Word of God. God bless.